for the introduction. As you mentioned, I'll be talking to you today about some research I've done with quantifying sand particle shape complexity, trying to correlate those particle shape complexity values to properties that we're interested in. So as I'm sure you know, sand-based root zones are common on high-quality sports turf, as well as golf course putting greens. And this is mainly due to the fact that they have a number of desirable characteristics for maintaining high-quality turf stands and safe and playable surface conditions. Now, the construction and composition of the root zones are very important to how the root zones will ultimately perform once in the field, so much so that the U.S. Golf Association, through previous research, has developed a number of specifications for testing prospective root zone materials prior to construction. And these specifications can not only be applied to root zones, but also to athletic fields in general. They look at a number of parameters, many of them in a quantitative fashion, and the recommendations they give are rather specific in nature. Sand particle shape can be evaluated and is evaluated, but currently there are no set recommendations or specifications regarding sand particle shape. There's just general recommendation to avoid any extremes in particle shape. This is largely due to the fact that the method of analysis is qualitative and rather subjective. The way it's currently done is particles are analyzed under magnification and then compared to a standardized chart like you see here. You'll then get a twofold qualitative assessment of the shape, one pertaining to sphericity from low to high, and then you also get an angularity rating going from very angular to well-rounded. So despite the fact that there are no set specifications for assessing prospective material in terms of particle shape, it is known that in general, particle shape is a significant factor in terms of how that root zone is going to perform ultimately once you have it in the field. Previous research has indicated that particle shape plays a role in overall root zone stability, bulk density, total porosity, and just water movement characteristics as well. So what we decided to do in our research was to step away from the limitations of the qualitative analysis and look at a quantitative method for analyzing particle shape. We chose a digital imaging technique that uses dynamic image analysis, and it's currently used in a number of other applications, including pharmaceutical and geological sciences. And primarily in these applications, it's used to assess particle size distributions, not necessarily particle shape. But it can assess particle shape. And if you see on the image on the right, which is a little small, but if you can see, particles are allowed to free fall in front of a white backlight, where they're then photographed by two digital cameras at a rate of 60 images per second. And then the computer then analyzes all the images and spits out average particle shapes or parameters for the whole material. There's a number of parameters that it calculates and measures. The three that we looked at in our study were aspect ratio, sphericity, and symmetry. You can see here the equations for how this program calculates them and some of the parameters that are used to come up with those calculations. So the ultimate objectives of our study was to quantify sand particle shape using this dynamic image analysis machine, and then take those values and correlate them to our properties that we were interested in, being bulk density, porosity, and bearing capacity. So we set up our study in a completely randomized design with three replications of each material in question. We chose five sand materials, and we had an angular control and a rounded control. And the materials we chose were chosen to represent sort of a wide range of particle shapes between our two control materials. Once chosen, the materials were then washed and sieved to separate them out into only the medium size class. This was done to eliminate any variability that might come from particle size distribution. We wanted our results to just focus on the particle shape itself. After doing that, samples were then randomized and sent off to a company called Hariba Instruments, where they used their dynamic image analysis machine called the CamSizer to obtain our qualitative values. This table indicates the values that we got back from Hariba. The values you see are actually transformed values using a 1 over x transformation. It's done simply to aid in interpretation of the data, make it easier to understand. And just to give you a brief overview of what the numbers indicate, for aspect ratio, a number of 1 would be a perfectly round or spherical object. A symmetry value of 1 would indicate a perfectly symmetrical object, And a sphericity value of 1 would indicate a perfectly smooth object or not very regular surface. And for all three parameters, as the values increase, your particle is becoming more and more irregular in shape. And then using Tukey's honestly significant difference mean separation test with an alpha value of 0.05, we were able to determine that for basically all seven materials and all three shape parameters, we were able to obtain significant differences in shape for all of them, with the one exception being the Ottawa TDS-2150 sand and the symmetry parameter. These two showed no significant difference. So having obtained our quantitative values, we then set out to correlate them with our properties, as I mentioned before. To do this, we looked at two moisture contents, both an umber dry and a 5% moisture. The materials were compacted using a vibratory hammer in a mold, 15.2 centimeter by 16.51 centimeter mold, and they were compacted in three equal layers. Once compacted, the mold was weighed to obtain a bulk density value, and then using particle density values, we were also able to obtain total porosity data. Having done that, we then transferred the mold to a multi-loader and conducted a modified California bearing ratio test, or CBR test. And the way the CBR test works is the mold is pushed up into the piston connected to a load cell, and stress values are recorded as that piston's forced into material at set displacements up to 2.54 centimeters. And then the displacements and our agronomic properties as well were correlated with using SAS and PROC-COR to our three shape parameters. So first we'll look at some correlation coefficients from our agronomic properties, looking at the correlation between our three parameters and our agronomic properties, both bulk density and total porosity. And the table's kind of split in half here, with the oven dried materials being on the left and the 5% moisture content materials being on the right. And right off the bat, you can see that basically all of our correlations between all parameters and both properties proved to be significant. And if you kind of glance at them, you start to notice that some of the sphericity values seem to have some of the highest correlations. So what we'll do is I'll show a graph here of the correlation with the sphericity and the agronomic properties at the oven dry moisture content. So you can see that here we have a graph with the sphericity on the x-axis, again a value of 1 being a perfectly smooth particle, and values increasing from 1 indicating more shape complexity. On the y-axis we have bulk density. And you see the negative correlation here. So as the particle shape complexity is increasing, our bulk density values are going down, so our particles aren't compacting together as tightly. As you would expect, looking at the correlation with sphericity and total porosity, as that shape complexity increases, we have a strong positive correlation with a coefficient of 0.9661, which would be expected if your bulk density is going down, you're expecting more porosity in your root zone. And both these findings were also supported by previous research by Yi et al. 2001. If we look at some of the correlation coefficients now with our shape parameters and our bearing capacity, we see we're comparing correlation coefficients between the parameters at set displacements. If you remember in the CBR test, you're looking at displacements all the way up to 25.4 millimeters. So we're choosing displacements here ranging from 2.54 millimeters up to that total displacement. And again, split in half here the table with the two moisture contents. And just looking at all the correlations, you again see that they're highly significant, a number of them, with 5% water content seeming to show some higher correlation coefficients, and again with sphericity having some of the highest values. So this next graph will focus on the correlation between sphericity and the bearing capacity, particularly at the 25.4 millimeter displacement. So we see that strong correlation with a coefficient of 0.9555, indicating that as sphericity is increasing, as our values are increasing from 1, we're seeing more resistance of the material in question to deformation, or more stability. And again, this was also supported from data found by Puri and Mancino in 2002. So in conclusion, we notice that all three shape parameters have significant correlations to both properties that we're interested in, both the agronomic and the engineering properties, indicating that shape does play a significant role in the overall performance of these root zones. in particular their agronomic properties. We saw strong correlations, like I said, with all three parameters. And in general, as the shape complexity was increasing, our bulk density values were decreasing, and our total porosity values were increasing, which is to be expected. And with our engineering property, our bearing capacity, we saw a positive correlation, a strong positive correlation there, especially with the 5% moisture material, indicating that the more complex shapes were showing more resistance to deformation or more overall stability. So the strong correlations observed from this dynamic imaging analysis technique and the ability to assess particle shape and separate them out sort of validates the effectiveness of this technique in terms of quantifying sand particle shape as opposed to the qualitative method. And it's kind of a step in the right direction in terms of providing a technique that's going to let us more accurately depict particle shape when we're looking at prospective root zone materials, and hopefully give us a better idea of how that root zone is going to perform once it's actually in the field. So with that, I'll thank you for your time. And if we have time, hopefully...
Time for questions.
Yes. Yeah. We use the middle part of the site, you said, to run through there, to run through the machine, the sand, the middle particle sizes. Is it sort of an obvious assumption that the shapes stay the same through all particle sizes?
The question does the particle shape stay the same between particle sizes? If I have that right, yes?
Yeah.
I believe in general, not necessarily do they stay the same between all particle sizes. The larger particle sizes may be more angular. As you get smaller, you might find more less irregularities. We chose the medium size just as a happy medium between the extremes, as one that's highly commonly highly found in those root zone materials based on the specifications. Yes.
And do you think there's any issues with the highly angular sands and traffic and root damage? Anticipate that.
Question is, would I anticipate any issues with highly angular sands and traffic damage? I think it's definitely something that's possible. I'm sure there may be work out there saying that it is effective in terms of root damage with the traffic on more angular material. I'm not sure of any off the top of my head. Again, this study focused more on the machine to see if it was more able to quantify the shape and correlate it. So, yes, in the back.
Relationship between bearing capacity and actual lateral shear strength.
Say that one more time.
Is there any relationship between bearing capacity and actual lateral shear strength in the field?
The question is there a relationship between bearing capacity and lateral shear strength in the field? I'm not sure the answer to that question, to be honest with you.
You didn't find any literature or anything?
Not that I reviewed. I'm sorry.
Okay, we need to move on. Thanks, Nathan.
Thank you.